Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Let's Talk About Sin. I know that's everybody's least favorite subject, but it's probably the one we need to talk the most about. I'm going to read to you from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? I want to warn y'all while I'm recording this that it is thundering heavily outside and it is extremely dark where I am. It got dark very suddenly, and that is not a good sign when you have severe thunderstorms around. So hopefully the power won't die or anything and I'll be able to get this recorded and uploaded. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. Okay, we're going to talk about some things that God just showed me in Genesis 3, and I've been reading that chapter for over 22 years now. So, Eve was over by the tree that she wasn't supposed to have anything to do with, where the forbidden fruit was. She was right over by that tree. What was she doing in the wrong part of town? Why was she over by the forbidden fruit in the first place when God had already told her she couldn't have any of it? I want y'all to think about this as I'm telling you, because the Lord has shown me temptations are intensifying dramatically right now, and they are intensifying for all of God's people, and the intensity is going to hit you suddenly, so you got to be ready, okay? And you got to recognize the enemy's tactics. What was Eve doing listening to the enemy talk? Why was she listening to him? We get seduced listening to wrong voices and being drawn slowly into the enemy's snares, don't we? Eve knew that what the enemy was telling her was against what God had already told her and Adam, or had told her husband. So why was she listening in the first place? She knew that was not the right thing to do. Well, we all do that, okay? We all do it. We all listen. We all get tempted. We all do from time to time do whatever sins. But I want you to learn how to avoid the sins. I want you to learn how, when the temptation first comes at you, how to cut it off, okay? In Texas, we call that nipping it in the bud. Okay, so there's Adam. She's over by the forbidden fruit, and so I don't know if he followed her over there or he was like, hey, Eve, what are you doing over there? But she turned around, she tasted the fruit. She turned around and offered him some, and he's like, okay, well, she did it, so I should do it too. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. Just because everybody steps off the cliff does not mean you need to step off the cliff. What you need to do is stop and think about what God has taught you and what you know to be right from wrong and wise from unwise and follow that in that moment. The right partner, you single people listen to me now, the right partner will not lead you the wrong way. The right partner will not encourage you to sin. Somebody who is going to be a godly mate will not try to talk you into sinning. Do you hear me? Please hear me on this. Because in the dating world, everything is so confusing. And when that man or that woman's looking real good to you, you know you're not paying as much attention as you ought to be to what's coming out their mouth, okay? The right godly partner will not lead you into sin. They will protect you because they will know that sin is deadly. The wages of sin is always death. They will try to protect you from even your own desires. They will try to keep you from doing wrong, not lead you into doing wrong. Now, I'm going to talk for a minute about stuff that's especially for the single people, although some of it applies to other areas of life. When I was very young, I met my husband, who was the love of my life. His name was Rick, and we met down on the Gulf Coast at Texas City, which is just across the bridge from Galveston. And we dated for a while, and Rick wanted a wife. Rick was 20 years old. I was 15, okay? He wanted a wife, but he fell in love with me, and he married a child. What do you think he got? He got a child wife. He got a child bride who did not know how to cook, did not know how to clean, did not know how to take care of a child, did not know how to emotionally support a man. Y'all are getting this, right? You hear me? Okay. If you are looking for a wife, if you are looking for a spouse, do not marry a child. You will not get a partner. You will get a child to take care of. That's basically what he got. Bless his heart. If you are looking for a virtuous woman, do not choose the one who is showing everything she's got. Hello. You men know what I'm talking about. She may look good, but if she's showing all that to you, she's showing it to everybody else too, all right? Okay. If you want a partner who will co-parent with you on your children or their children, who will be a good partner in parenting, do not look for the hottest thing on the block, because they will still be the hottest thing on the block after you marry them. Somebody that's showing everything they got is insecure and desperate for attention. Okay, they're going to still want all that attention after they are married. They don't think they will when they marry you, but they will. All right, that is a road that ends up in divorce court. I am just saying. If you want a partner that's sober, don't marry somebody that's only been clean for 5 minutes. All right, y'all hear me on this, because a lot of this I'm preaching to you out of my own experiences. All right. If you want a godly marriage partner, don't go marry somebody that's been saved for 20 minutes and you've been walking with God for 20 years. That is not equally yoked. Please hear me. Somebody that's been saved for 20 minutes barely knows how to spell Jesus, okay? If you've been married to the Lord or walking with the Lord for 10 or 20 years, you're going to be a lot more mature in the Lord than somebody who just found him. Okay, I don't care how on fire they are for him. They haven't worked out all their issues yet, and that is going to be a big mess that is going to blow up in your face. I'm trying to help you here. Their walk is not proved yet, and they could still go either way. They may not stay in the walk. Y'all, they may not even stay in the walk. They may backslide. You want a partner that will walk with you, not one that you got to drag behind you and wonder what they're doing behind your back. Can I just tell you that? Let me tell you something else. I didn't realize this when I was believing God for a husband, but that if the Lord had not sent me a spouse after 16 years, he probably wanted me to stay the way I was. All right? And he did want me to stay the way I was, but I just couldn't see it because I wanted a spouse so bad. I wanted to be happily married. That was the only dream I had growing up. Besides wanting my parents to stop fighting, was I wanted to be happily married. Because I didn't want to end up in a marriage like that where I fought with my husband all the time. And that dream stayed with me. Anyway, if you've been believing for 20 years for a spouse and God hadn't sent you one, go back to square one and talk to the Lord. He may not be going to send you one, okay? So Eve took her eyes off Jesus. She let the enemy lure her focus away from God. I'm talking to somebody. This is how sin starts. When you know you are supposed to be thinking about your wife, but wow, that girl at the restaurant sure is cute, and maybe you'll go back there again tomorrow, because suddenly you think you've developed a taste for the kind of cheeseburgers that they serve. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you find yourself hungry for all kind of food. A lot. Stop it before it starts, because there is no way that is going to end well. Can I just tell you that? How do affairs end? They either end in someone getting hurt, somebody's reputation being ruined, a marriage ending in shame and disgrace, financial loss. They end in you getting STDs they didn't tell you they had, or worse, They ended reputations ruined all over town, lost friendships because now no one wants their spouse around you. Bluntly put, affairs ruin lives, lots of them. And for what? Chasing the sexual rainbow? For a few minutes of pleasure? You think you're going to have a life and live happily ever after with that? Did you pray for that? For a cheating spouse? Did you pray for a cheating spouse? Because let me tell you something. If they will cheat with you, they will cheat on you. A leopard does not change its spots. And it's not their spouse's fault like they're telling you. They can't bear to tell you that the truth is they can't be happy with just one partner. You going to build a life with that? Come on now. And since we're going to talk blunt here, speaking of STDs, did you know that the CDC just released a report that they're at an all-time high in the U.S.? Oh, yeah. Go read that report. Don't go looking for somebody who follows the rules all the time behind bars. Hello. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They may look good, they may sound good, but they have lots of free time to learn how to charm people. Does their history show they will be good when they get out? Usually the answer to that is no. So Eve was in the wrong neighborhood, listening to the lies of the enemy who only wanted to seduce her. She stared at the fruit instead of keeping her focus on Jesus, and that's how she ended up being the mother of all sin. If we listen to the enemy, we will end up following in her mistaken footsteps. She was human just like us. She fell to temptation just like us. I'm not blaming everything on Eve. I'm just saying we can learn from her. And pretty soon, she was just standing there watching her relationship with God and her reputation circling the drain. Adam fell to peer pressure. Y'all could probably hear the thunder in the background, sorry. He was listening to the wrong people instead of keeping his eyes on the Lord. And he trusted his spouse, and his spouse was not hearing from God. Samson fell into sin because he kept going back into the enemy's camp. You cannot hold hands with the enemy and not get into sin. Y'all, you can't do it. Samson fell because he fell in love with the enemy. She did not love him back. The enemy will never love you like you want to be loved. And the Lord just said, that's a word for somebody. There is a man listening to this podcast and you love a younger woman who's beautiful, but she's kind of cool towards you. That's why, sir. The Lord said you have fallen in love with the enemy, but she has no ability to love you. Get away before it is too late. You desperately want that relationship to work, but she is only in it for what she can get, just like Delilah was with Samson. He says, don't walk, but run from that woman, or you're going to wish you did. You know who you are. Delilah demanded proof of Samson's love for her while showing none to him. Jezebels will also display this kind of behavior. We must take great care where we allow our affections to lead us. The word says to guard your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's Proverbs 4:23 for you new Christians. So let's think about that for a minute. Your heart, incidentally, is where the word of God is written. So no wonder we have to guard it. Romans 2:14-15. I'm going to read this from the ESV version, the English Standard Version, for the new Christians who are also listening to help them better understand this message. It doesn't help if they hear a message they can't understand. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. For you new Christians, Gentiles are non-Jewish people like us. If you were not born Jewish, then you are a Gentile. And when the Bible talks about Israel, we are a type of Israel since we are God's people. Israel were God's original people. Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. That's Hebrews 8:10. For you newer Christians, a covenant is a sacred contract between two people. The Lord has a good plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." But let me tell you something. You have to do your part. He can't make you a full-time preacher if you want to be on drugs and chase loose women. He can't give you a godly husband if you want to hang out in the clubs at night with all your goodies hanging out, okay? Come on now. Let's use some of that wisdom he's given us. All you're going to attract in those clubs is what clubs are good for, a good time. He's looking for a good time, not a wife, woman of God. Clubs are no place for godly women. Can I just tell you that? And they are no place for godly men either. I'm telling y'all the truth today. Please hear me on this. If you don't listen and use wisdom, your life is going to end up looking like a train wreck where a three-year-old was driving. The Word of God says in Colossians 3:2, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first? Let's look at Haggai chapter 2. "Now then, consider from this day onward, being stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord. How did you fare? When one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were but 20. In other words, they were in lack. So God was saying, before you built my temple, you were in lack. I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord." He was trying to get their attention. "Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, since the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider, is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing, but from this day on, I will bless you." So what the Lord was telling them is this: when you didn't put my house first, I let you be in lack. But when you put me and building up my house first, you're going to have plenty because I'm going to bless you. That's what he's saying in Haggai 2. The temple was their church back then. That was where they learned about God. That was where they went to church. That was where they took their sacrifices. And it had been destroyed, and God was calling for it to be built back up again so his people could come again to the temple and learn about him and bring sacrifices for their sins. So they could come and, you know, learn about his laws. They were under the Mosaic law then, the 613 laws that were originally given to Moses, that they were all supposed to follow, and that told them what animals needed to be sacrificed for each sin. So God is saying he wants his house, and that his house needs to be put first. He wants us to think of him first, not what we want. He wants us to put the needs of his people first. He wants to be first in everything in our lives. Losing sight of what was important caused Samson to be captured by his enemies. He lost his sight, his reputation, and his position when he did. But honestly, he was already blind, wasn't he? In the same way so many of us have been blind before, he was blinded by his desires. That is a word for somebody. There's a man, you are being led around by your desires. Desires do not make good gods. Desires are traps set by the enemy of your soul to take you captive. You know who you are. I will say no more. Samson spent his whole life fighting the wrong enemy. The real enemy was his weakness for beautiful women. The real enemy was inside Samson, not outside him. It was his own desire. If he had conquered that in the beginning of his walk, we would read a lot more stories of his other conquest in the Bible, wouldn't we? I'm sure God wanted to do much more through him. When King David fell to temptation with the beautiful Bathsheba and caused Uriah, her husband, to be killed by the enemy, peace was taken from his household. King David would have never fallen to that temptation if he had been out fighting with his men instead of laying around the palace, would he? He was in the wrong place. It's like being in the wrong neighborhood. It's like being over by the tree of forbidden fruit. And although he did go to war and conquer Rabbah Ammon, I'm not sure how you say that. I was looking at a chronological timeline. The only thing that I really saw after Bathsheba was that one battle of Rabbah Ammon where he conquered them. And after that, he did nothing but try to put out fires in his own household. because there was so much chaos there because the peace had been taken away. People he loved were constantly scheming against him. People were being murdered. It became a madhouse. No woman, no matter how beautiful, could compensate for the loss of even one beloved child, much less not having peace for the rest of your natural life. And where sin is, there is never peace. Can I just tell you that? And you have to wonder if that hour or two of pleasure with Bathsheba was really worth the rape of his daughter Tamar, who lost her virginity, the murder of his son Amnon, who took it, the loss of his son Absalom, and the end of his being a mighty warrior. And the list just goes on and on. I don't see how that could have been worth it. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. King David feared God until he met Bathsheba. And it was all downhill from there. He let his desires override what he knew was right. We have all been there at some time. Bathsheba was not God's will for King David. If you get with the wrong partner, your life will go downhill too. God would have gladly given him as many beautiful women as he wanted, but not somebody else's wife. God will not send you the spouse of somebody else. Can I just tell you, there's a woman listening to this program right now, and you have fallen in love with somebody else's husband. Woman of God, get away from that man. That is a trap set to destroy. That is a trap set to destroy you. It is meant to take your life, literally take your life, for you to be killed because of it. I'm not being shown why or how, but that is literally a trap from the enemy to kill you. God will not send you somebody else's spouse. He won't do that. I don't care how bad they say their marriage is, he will not send you somebody else's spouse. Adultery is not his will for you. And if they will cheat with you, they will cheat on you, woman of God. I don't care what they say. They will cheat on you. I have seen that happen so many times to so many people. King David got into idolatry. Idolatry is when you put a person, place, or thing before what you know God wants you to do. All sin is idolatry at the lowest level. Temptation is coming to us in new packages now. I got a word for tomorrow about that. Please pay attention to that word because it just happened to me last week. And I wasn't... I had started to realize something was amiss and had already started pulling back, and it was just a new hobby. It was something I used to do, and it was just a hobby, and God just pulled the plug on it, y'all. He just flat out pulled the plug on it. He crushed it. So that's not a problem anymore, and it wasn't anything bad. I was actually doing it to help people, and it was something I really loved doing it. So I was heartbroken all day yesterday, but it's okay because I knew it was just God redirecting me back to where I'm supposed to be. I don't want y'all to fall into that same trap and have to go through the heartbreak, all right? So please read that word and heed its warning, because I was praying about it when he gave me that word. And think about all the things that people in the Bible got into trouble with. Being in the wrong place. Being led by their desires. Listening to the enemy. Peer pressure like Adam. Eve took her eyes off Jesus and put them on what she already knew was forbidden. There's a man of God listening to this. The Lord showed me that you've been looking in lust at that pretty woman who's been tempting you. And the Lord said, you better rebuke that woman and you better call out that spirit of seduction, man of God. Samson fell in love with the enemy and it cost him everything. He allowed his desires to drag him around. He allowed his desires to make his decisions in life. If your flesh is making all the decisions, you are going to have a miserable life. Can I just tell you that? In a very empty life. You have got to do your part if you want what God has for you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much God has gifted you. I don't care how strong the anointing is on you. If you don't do your part, it's going nowhere. All right? It's going nowhere. You have got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember what Bathsheba cost King David. Just remember. Be where you are supposed to be. Don't be off in no wrong neighborhood. Don't be looking around at stuff you ain't supposed to be looking at, all right? Walk in wisdom. Don't make God crush that idol. Because idolatry aside from bringing heartbreak, will also bring shame into your life. Don't make him do that to you. I hope this has been a help to you. Y'all pay attention to that word tomorrow, okay? For those of you who don't know my blog site, it's www.justpraisehim.today. And that will be the word for August 31st, 2018 that I'm talking about. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today. Do you know someone who is going through a wilderness season right now? Have you heard about the Wilderness Companion Study Guide? It's a workbook with 41 lessons, including new stories from the wilderness and questions to help you work through your own wilderness experience. Read each lesson, then complete the questions to apply the lesson to your own wilderness experience. Get your copy of the Wilderness Companion Study Guide today and get one for a friend. Available now on Amazon.com. The Wilderness Companion Study Guide by Glenda Lomax. Available on Amazon.com. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print and new audiobook. The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?